This is React Podcast. I'm Jantastic. Twas the night before ReactConf, and Ryan, Florence, and I got to sit down and talk about hooks. If you've ever wondered what goes through a speaker's head the night before they show off a brand new feature in a beloved framework, you're going to love this show. Ryan and I, bordering a state of delirium, just talk about all the things that have been changing in React this last year. We talk about the place that hooks and suspense have in React and the sordid history that brought them into being. I think you'll really enjoy this chat. There are a couple moments that are just straight up goofy. And we'll dive in right after a word from our sponsor. This week, we have a silent sponsor. Instead of telling you about their product, they wanted me to tell you about Gabe Greenberg. Gabe has long been the community leader of ReactiFlux, a Slack-based community for React and JavaScript developers. And for a really long time, Gabe has had a debilitating illness that his insurance does not cover. He's a great guy and friend of React. He has a GoFundMe page set up at gofundme.com/help-gabe-get-healthy1. You can also find the link placed conveniently in our show notes at reactpodcast.com/31. Take a moment to go to the page, read about his story, and if nothing else, send him a kind message thanking him for his community support. So this morning you tweeted, and I quote, "React is getting too big." And you respond, "React hasn't changed in 5 years. Code using the new APIs is simpler. React is generally backwards compatible." Sound familiar? It's the same story as JavaScript, and it seems to be working well there. Only other option is do nothing now. Thumbs down.
Thumbs down emoji.
So what inspired that?
I saw a couple of tweets where people were like, so React just released, what is it, Memo?
Memo, yeah.
React Memo. And React Lazy. And then people started tweeting about like, oh, and then you add in suspense and the React API is just getting huge and they're just throwing more and more crap at it. It frustrates me because like, and it's a little bit unfair for me to tweet that today because I'm thinking mostly about hooks.
Yeah.
Which no one has, well, a few people have seen. The people who are speaking at this conference and a handful of other people have seen it. But yeah, just because the API is going to get way smaller. I mean, there's going to be more API, but how you actually, in the future, your React components, the API is going to be so much smaller. The APIs that you actually use to get the job done is going to feel so much smaller than what it is today. And so it's like, I'm trying to preempt and hold back the wave of like negativity about new stuff in React.
Yeah.
Because I just don't want people to be like, oh no, it's Angular 2 all over again. And it used to be such a simple library and now it's a framework. And yeah. It's like, it was never just a library. It was always kind of a framework and it still is going to be kind of a framework, but it's so much simpler.
A lot of people talk about that line between library and framework. What does that mean for you? Or like, what do you think they're talking about? Obviously, everyone has different definitions about where that line is. So it's kind of
there's a thing unfair that, to talk about. Yeah, there's that thing that everybody says. You call the library, the framework calls you. Right? So you hand code
okay.
to Rails. You say, here's my controller. And then Rails calls all the methods on it. Right? You Ember your whatever. I haven't used Ember for too long. A thing.
It's been a minute.
Yeah. And then Ember will call the model hook on your route or whatever. And it's funny that people have called React a library on that definition because you hand your top level component to React DOM.render.
Uh-huh.
And then it calls all the lifecycle hooks on it.
Yes.
So like, I guess it's a framework.
Yeah.
It always has been.
That was one thing that kind of caught me off guard about hooks. When Dan showed it to me, my first instinct, the thing that kicked up in me, the feeling was, oh, it feels like I'm losing control without these classes and instances and the lifecycle methods, right?
Oh, really?
Because I'm handing that over to React.
Yeah.
And you actually wrote a post with the title like React Take the Wheel, which yeah. I thought was funny, by the way. and that's true. I feel like it does feel like that where I'm like handing that over. But he kind of reminded me it's almost the inverse, because you don't have control over when those methods get called in the components or component in,
yeah,
classes.
Class, yeah.
They're getting called regardless. And like, you don't have control, like whether or not they're called, if you're using them or not, they're still going to get called. And that was an interesting shift for me to realize that like, I am kind of delegating like a level of control over these things, but I'm also gaining control of doing only exactly the work that I needed done.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was, when first started using React, it reminds me of, because we were coming from two-way data binding, and then with React you got to say set state, like
yeah,
you get to say when we're going to update. And now with like use effect, you get to say, okay, right here I want you to now do this thing, instead of, well, the big change that I've been thinking about, and like the phrase in my head is the quote-unquote old API of React. We need a term for that, and it shouldn't be legacy. but before hooks and before suspense, and before the new lifecycle hooks in classes, React told us what it was doing. Mm-hmm. Component will mount. Hey, I'm about to mount this.
Yeah.
Component did update. I updated this. React is just telling us what it's doing, mm-hmm. and then it was up to us to figure out what the heck we're supposed to do about it.
Mm.
And so if we needed to fetch data, we need to do that in did mount and in did update. But component did mount and component did update, those don't say anything about reading data.
Yeah.
Or resources or reading data or anything like that. It's just like, I mounted, so you can go do whatever you want to do. But now with suspense, you get to say create resource. This is, or with React Cache, create a resource. This is, I'm defining a resource for how to get data, instead of just like, do whatever you want in component did mount. There's a thing called a resource now. It's still as simple. It's even simpler. You actually just return a promise instead of call a promise and then set state. You just return a promise. So the code you actually write, the API got a little bit smaller to make a resource, even though we have a new API. And then when you want to read that value, you do resource.read. Right. So now it's a very direct thing. We're not just happening to fetch data in component did mount. React tells us what it's doing, then we decide what to do about it. We actually have a very direct API to say, here's a resource definition, and now I want to read from it. And then you think about like get snapshot before update. We used to do that stuff in component will update, and we'd take a DOM measurement, see what's focused, see what the scroll position is, put it on an instance like this dot scroll position, or scroll at bottom or something, right? You're in a chat app and you want to keep the scroll position at the bottom. So you're going to check right before we update, where's the scroll position, so that in component did update, you can then move the scroll down.
Yeah.
Now we have get snapshot before update, which tells us what we need to do. So React isn't saying, hey, I'm about to update. Hey, I just updated. It's saying, let's get a snapshot before the update. So now we're talking directly about what we need to do.
Yeah.
Get drive state from props instead of component will receive props. It's like, okay, what does that mean? What do I do about that? And that hook is the biggest disaster, because everybody was doing all sorts of stuff when all we were ever supposed to do with it was call set state. Man, I'm on a soapbox right now. but all we were ever supposed to do was call set state inside of component will receive props. But we were fetching data, we were moving scroll positions, like we were doing all sorts of stuff in there. But now React has a hook that says get snapshot before update. Get derive state from props.
Yep.
Like, this is what we need out of this hook. Mm-hmm. So instead of this kind of big unwieldy set of hooks that we're not quite sure what to do in each one of them, yeah, we have a couple more pieces of API, but the code is actually simpler because we know exactly what we're doing. And then I guess finally with hooks, instead of code spread out throughout a class, we got the state, we got component did mount, we got component did update. We're going to perform these side effects across three different lifecycle hooks. Now it's all in just one effect.
Yeah.
So instead of React saying, hey, I'm doing all these things, and then we have to piece it all together in the class, we get to just write it in 3 or 4 lines of code inside of an effect, and we get to say, hey, React, use this effect.
Yeah.
Instead of React saying, hey, I just mounted, what do you want to do about it?
Yes.
I just updated, what do you want to do about it? We say, React, use this effect.
Yes.
So yeah, all of these APIs to me are just making everything more direct and instead of loosey-goosey.
That has always felt very weird. The component did mount and component will unmount. And the fact that you have to separate your work in those two places.
Yeah.
It's like, do the work, do the cleanup. And it has always felt a little bit divorced from kind of the intent, I guess.
And then store all the junk on a class, which is like a terrible, they're so hard to work with.
Yeah. Okay, so let's back up a little bit and let's talk about hooks in general. What are hooks?
Hooks are all of the all the stuff we used to do in lifecycle hooks, but better. in Dan's talk, do we know what night it is when we're listening to this podcast? Or what
I always
day it
do
is?
Them at exactly the time that we're doing them. So
okay, so Dan's going to say in his talk tomorrow, right at the end. He did a dry run with me, and it was really good. I'm excited for it. But anyway, he will say tomorrow, and did say to the people listening to this podcast. he said at the end of his talk, I spent way too much time on this. He said it then, or will say at the end of his talk. This is so confusing. Like, here, my mind is exploding.
I'm going to ask the question again.
No. Okay. I got it.
Just do it right as of now. Because I have no idea how I'm going to edit that.
Don't edit it. Just leave it in there. It's going to be great. Okay. So, Dan says in his talk, there we go. We'll do it like the literature version. So yeah. Dan says in his talk.
It's an immutable state. It has happened and will happen.
Yeah, and it's happening now. I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. Oh, yeah. He says at the end of his talk. Okay, I remember what we're talking about. That that the word atom, atom means indivisible. Oh. So when scientists discovered the atom, they were like, this is it. This is the smallest unit of the world, of the universe.
Interesting.
Our atoms. So that thing is indivisible. It's the last particle. And then later they discovered electrons.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh.
Mm. Naming is hard.
I guess there are smaller parts. And in React, it's sort of like, components, at least the way I kind of interpreted what, maybe this isn't exactly what Dan meant, but it's kind of how I interpreted it. Because I've always thought of components are the thing. Components are what React are, is. But now we've discovered, wait, no, there's a thing that was always there. We were doing it in the lifecycle hooks spread out across a class. But there was a thing that was there. We just hadn't discovered it yet.
Yeah.
And it's these hooks.
Yep.
It's a way to take everything that we're doing across a class, keeping our state. So we've got use state. We've got reducers from Redux. Now we've got use reducer. We had context, which has been all over the map on how to access context.
Yep.
And now it's just a hook. Use context, pass it the context, and you get a return value.
Mm-hmm.
Render props. We don't have to deal with render props to get stateful values out of components. We can just return them out of a hook. If we want to do effects and component did mount, component did update, all that kind of stuff, hooks let us do just anything stateful, anything effectful, if that's a word, are there. So it's something that has always been there in React. It was just spread out across classes and we hadn't really discovered it. And now it's like electrons. We discovered the electron and we've given it a name.
Mm-hmm.
This is a hook. And so now we've got a way better way to compose all the stuff we were already doing before. It's all the same concepts. It was all there. It's just some more direct API for it now.
Yeah, so these hooks, are they exclusive to function classes? Or, sorry, function classes. Function components?
Sure. It is late, isn't it?
Note to self, don't record at 11:30. Are these exclusive to function components or are they able to be used in class components too?
Just function components.
Just function components.
Yeah. But the same code base can have class components and function components. So you don't have to migrate everything over. You can just do new stuff with hooks if you like them.
Yeah. So tell me, which hooks are there? What are the hooks we have to work with?
I'd have to pull up the docs, but the ones that you'll use all the time are use state, and that replaces set state and this dot state, and use effect, and that replaces, I mean, all of the lifecycle hooks that we used to use. But generally, you can simply think about it as just did mount and did update.
Okay.
Use effect is anytime we render, so React knows how to render DOM elements, right? And that's all those elements are about. And so use effect is saying, hey, if you want to take the state of this app, and instead of passing it into element attributes, you can do some other kind of effect with it. Yeah, so it's just like did mount and did update. And then there is a use memo, and that lets you memoize a value.
Mm-hmm.
There's use reducer, so you can manage all of your state in a reducer with dispatching, which is really nice. Use layout effect and use mutation effect.
And those are just specializations of effect, right?
I don't know what they are yet. The React team knows that there are some weird edge cases.
Yeah.
And so we need a couple fancy ones, but you'd probably be fine without them, is my guess.
That is one thing that has been a little bit confusing up to this point, and I'm sure that it'll get clarified and we'll start to understand it in the same way that everything's confusing that it's new when it's new.
Yeah.
Is the introduction of the scheduler, like, it feels present in a lot of these APIs. I don't know. My understanding is that the difference between use effect, use mutation effect, and use layout effect really comes down to how they're scheduled and prioritized.
Yeah.
And so there's this thing that's kind of almost like the elephant in the room, I guess. And I'm not sure if, like, that's what makes it feel like a framework, that there's this thing that is kind of invisible but present and, like, hovering in the space between these APIs that we're not quite sure about yet. But that's an area that I've felt kind of uncomfortable, I guess, in my knowledge.
Yeah. My understanding is you'll need, like, use layout effect when you're measuring a DOM element.
Okay.
So React actually does, I don't know all the details of it anymore, but I used to know them better because I was working on something where it mattered, but it's been a couple of years. But React in component did mount, if you measure an element and then set state, like, right then, it actually kind of, like, caches that and then only does one full render or something.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember, but it has something to do with that kind of stuff. But you probably won't need it, because most of the time in use effect, you're rendering to the document title, or you're, I don't know, managing focus.
Subscriptions.
Yeah, you're doing a subscription to something. And then there's use ref. So if you need a ref for an element, you just say use ref and then drop it on the element.
Nice. Yeah, that's one thing that I really liked about use effect, which feels like the workhorse to me.
Yeah, that's my jam. I'm like, my code is all use effect now.
It should be part of your, like, if you had, like, Ryan Florence and the use effect.
It's a great band.
Yeah, I feel like you get, like, a lot of, like, band names through these conferences. What was DK Piano's name for you?
That was Ryan Florence and the Set State Machine. I've actually never even heard, that I know of, or at least didn't recognize, a Florence and the Machine.
Really?
Song, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I'm sure I've heard it, but, like, it's not a group I've ever paid attention to.
Yeah, same. I just know that it like catches my ear a little bit wrong most of the time.
Yeah.
So kind of back to the component thing, one thing that I have loved is that whereas in the class component model, subscribing and unsubscribing or doing some type of mutation and cleaning up after yourself have been separated by lifecycle events, now with hooks and use effects, those are placed right in the same function.
Yeah.
Which is really neat.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, well, because what I love about it is that you can use just local variables inside of the function. So you don't have to do, like, this.interval equals set interval.
Yeah.
And then component did unmount or will unmount clear interval this.interval. You don't have to put all that junk on the instance and track it all over. It's just let interval equal set interval.
Yeah.
Return a function to clean it up. Clear interval. I'm saying interval way too much, but yeah.
It kind of reminds me of like mix-ins, right? Where you could like, you
they're
could
totally mix-ins. They are mix-ins. Yeah. But done right.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Because there were some cases where mix-ins were awesome, especially if you wanted to share, if you wanted to share those lifecycle methods between components. That was a great way to do it. I mean, like, you know,
that's a better answer to the earlier question. What are hooks? Hooks are mix-ins. Mix-ins. That don't suck.
For function components.
Yeah. Yeah. Hooks are mix-ins.
That actually helps. I mean, now that we've landed on that, that helps me think about them a little bit easier.
Dan tweeted, like, in March, the future of React is mix-ins. And then when they approached me about this talk and showed me hooks, I was like, oh, that's what that tweet was. He's like, yep.
I feel like the React core team is always seeding the future in their tweets.
I know, like, and like they'll get into arguments with people about stuff. Like, not arguments, but they'll say something. People are like, well, what do you mean? And then they're just like, oh, well, I don't know. But and then 6 months later, you're like, that's what they were talking about.
Yeah.
But like, it just seems like nonsense to us.
We talk about religious things quite often, but like, it's like those verses in the Bible where Jesus is like, oh yeah, that's right. You think this, but in reality, this is the case.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I feel like that's the way that the React team talks about it. Like, oh yeah, you're thinking about React today, not React tomorrow.
Yeah. I just imagine Sebastian dressed up like Jesus. He's got a calming effect on me.
He's very calming. Sebastian comes up in this podcast a lot, and no one knows how to pronounce his name correctly.
He's actually given up, and he just says Mark Beige like everybody else now.
Yeah.
But it's like everyone
is always like, oh, yeah, you know, that talk by Sebastian Mark Beige. I'm saying his name wrong, and I have to edit it out every time.
it's like Mark Bogut.
Yeah.
Is what it really is.
Sounds that we do not have in the English language.
So before I do any sales calls with anybody, if they don't have like a English name that I know how to pronounce, I always go on YouTube and like search for names. And there's all these videos to how to pronounce it. And I'll sit there and practice it before I'm on my sales call with a person. And then one day I was like, wait, I don't know how to really pronounce Sebastian's last name. So I wasn't doing a sales call with him, but I don't know what I would sell him. Do I need to train you on React? but anyway, I still couldn't quite get it in there too, because it sounded like there was a T at the end. It was like Mark Bogut.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is that a T?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Maybe I need to start sending those to everyone I have a call with. So your talk tomorrow morning is 90% cleaner code?
90% cleaner React.
90% cleaner React.
Make a joke referencing back to your React Rally talk. Michael Chan was wrong. Clean code's not dead.
Oh, no, that would just give Donovan way too much fuel to to shame me with. So what is it about hooks that allows you to make your code that much cleaner?
Some components get really big, and you do multiple things in the lifecycle hooks. And if you watch Dan's talk, he addresses that, where, you know, you're changing the document title, and you're setting up a subscription to the window resize.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing both of those things in did mount. And then in will unmount, you're cleaning up one of them. And component did update, you're working with the document title again. And so you just have, you'll have a single concern, like managing the subscription to the window size. And it's spread across three different lifecycle hooks.
Yeah.
And then you'll have another concern, updating the document title, and that's spread out across two lifecycle hooks. And the code for the document title and the subscription for the window resize are right next to each other.
Yep.
But they're unrelated, but they have to be by each other because React is telling us what it's doing. I'm mounting. Okay, here are all the things we have to do. I'm unmounting. Here are all the things we have to do now.
Yeah.
And so you've got these related effects, unrelated effects. Yeah, they're unrelated effects that all live next to each other and just kind of get spread across the class. It just feels so much better when you move all of the document title code into just three lines of code now, instead of spread across. Well, and you know what? Maybe it's the same number of lines of code too. It's three lines, but they're three lines that are next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So cleaner code isn't always about less code. Sometimes it's just about if it's in the right box and where it's co-located, which we probably don't talk about that enough as a community, how much we value co-location of stuff. Like that's what got a lot of us into it. JSX is co-located, the styles are co-located. But in a component today, a single concern is not co-located. It's all in one component, but it's spread across all those life cycles.
Yep.
So hooks let us co-locate a single concern into just a couple of lines of code. And so that's the first part that makes it feel a lot cleaner, is one concern you get to manage in just one chunk of code. Like it's line after line of all the same thing. And then the second thing is that it is less code. I was just trying to figure out how to actually get a 90% ratio on my refactor.
You made the promise in your title, but can you deliver?
Yeah, I don't know. In this little app where I'm looking at media queries and stuff, it went from like, what was it, 64 to like 32 lines of code or something. And everything's there. Like I didn't lose anything. It's less code. It's more organized. And it's really portable too. Like, yeah. You're watching Dan's talk, he takes his hooks that are all in line in his app component, and then with just literally cut and paste, now it's in a custom hook.
Yeah.
And so it's a whole lot easier to move your code around, to add effects, remove effects, add state, remove state, and then abstract it into something that's reusable.
That's the thing that stands out most to me in terms of cleanliness, is the transportability of it, right? You can write it in line, like right in your component. And then as you learn that effect or that state or that whatever is extractable, it's so easy to move out and then use other places. And without having to, like if you were to extract like a subscription or something like that into functions, you would always have to have two. You'd have to have the creation and the cleanup. And now it's just that one, which really adds to that portable nature of these things.
And when you decide you want to reuse an effect or some state or whatever, all of that code is already right next to each other. So it really is like select those lines of code, cut, paste, where if you're in a big component across multiple lifecycle hooks, you've got to find each piece that has to do with that concern and then go paste it into the other spots, into the a new component. So it's just all of it is cleaner. There's less code, the code that a single concern is co-located, and the portability is awesome. I don't really address the portability a whole lot in my talk, but those three things I think are what make it just really clean. My React code has gotten incredibly sloppy like with render props, like they're a disaster, but they're awesome. They're really composable, but you can just stop doing that with hooks. And now you don't have this terrible nesting and hierarchy that isn't real.
So with hooks, if they're designed to kind of augment function components, there's more being like pushed into render now that we're, I guess, trying to get away from like component lifecycle events. And this seems like to be the story with like suspense too. Like a lot more is happening inside of render, you know, where you're getting that data and like whether or not you have it, that component's going to kind of render and or it's going to, you know, throw and suspend whatever. Yeah.
I mean, I was kind of clued into that a couple years ago. When I redesigned React Router to version 4, I was sitting on an airplane after a workshop, and I was like, okay, if I were to redo a router with all the stuff that we teach in our workshops, instead of the way that we did it before, and knowing that React actually values stuff in render instead of moving things out of it, what would it look like? And so that was when I first started personally to like push stuff into render. And that's when I started getting really excited about render props as well. I gave that talk at React Rally, where I threw a fetch component up on the screen. And I've had so many people email me, send me DMs, come up to me at meetups and conferences and just be like, you blew my mind with that fetch component. And it was the first time that a lot of people saw like, oh, I can fetch data right there in render.
Yeah.
And then we realized that we could do all sorts of stuff. And now the GraphQL, the Apollo API is a render prop like that. Like we already have. So I guess what I'm trying to say is for the last couple of years, the whole community has kind of already been pushing stuff into render.
Mm-hmm.
Our only choice for that was render props. And they're, I keep calling them a syntax disaster because they are, oh man, walking around in workshops while people are working on render props and like,
a curly brace.
If I don't get it right the first time, I just like undo everything try again. But yeah, so I think we're already going into render and now we've just got more stuff there that, but it's there in a good way.
Yeah.
Render props, it was there in like a just kind of a hacky way.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this because you do have that. There was that problem with the render props. I wonder if one of the reasons that people are like starting to have concern in kind of posing this idea that React is going more into framework territory is because for a long time, when you NPM installed React, all you got was a component. And there's something almost comforting about that. To be like, oh, as long as I do everything in the component model, like I can do all of these cool things in the component model. So if I want to update the document title, I can do that in a component. And then I just compose that in with render props to what was already there. And like all I have is a component. And in a way, that's a liberating constraint, right? I got this one thing that's super freaking awesome and can do anything that I can throw at it. But now it feels like things are being teased out. And I wonder if that's where a lot of that fear kind of comes
from. Yeah, I think that's exactly where it's coming from. It's one of those things where like on paper, it's like, yeah, React was simpler before because you only had components. But when you actually like consider everything that you have to do to build a UI, the React API wasn't as big, but everything you had to like deal with to do these, I mean, basic things, update the document title, fetch some data, you got to do that in every app to get it done. It was bigger. And now with a few more direct APIs, I think it's smaller. I really got to come up with words to describe this. Because like I've got the idea there in my head, but it can't come out yet in the right words.
Yeah, it's hard to describe, but it feels more like you're closer to the intent.
It's like when you organize a drawer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this drawer is a mess. And, but it's just a big open mess and all you have is a big drawer and you can just throw everything in it. And then when you go buy the tray to put your, your knives and your forks and stuff in, like there's more API there, but like it feels way better.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, this is easier to find a fork now.
Yes.
Where before it was like, where the heck is a fork? You're like moving all around to get it. And now, well, the forks are always right here. So I guess I'm saying it's okay to be more like a framework. I mean, I've always believed in frameworks. I've always liked them.
Yeah.
It's just when you get it wrong, it's like, maybe that's the fear. People are worried, like we've hit the edges of frameworks before where you're like, this framework doesn't know what to do now. I need to do this task.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't know how to do it. And I've got these brick walls all around me in this framework and I can't do something that I need to do. Maybe that's the fear that people have, but, I don't think that's gonna be how it'll pan out with React. And you always have the classes. So if you can't get something done with hooks, like we don't have get snapshot before update yet.
Yeah.
There's no hook for that, so you'll need to use a class for it.
At least the frameworks that I have seen and the frameworks that I have worked with, they feel a little bit more like boilerplate, right? Like we've looked at all these other applications and these are the general shape that they take. So if you want to build this type of application, just start from here and you'll have that shape from day one.
Yeah.
But this doesn't feel to me like that. It feels still like we're in the land of primitives where you have a component and you have these hooks that allow you to manage effects, and you have these new resources and suspense that allow you to manage waiting for data, getting data, how long a user
and treating data like their synchronous values too. Yes. is a big deal.
Yeah, so you have these three things, and I think that immediately it feels kind of confusing, but it doesn't feel like we've gone into framework territory yet, because there's really nothing telling you you have to use one or the other.
Yeah.
And there's still like a lot of exploration. It doesn't feel like there's boundaries. We're still kind of going towards the capability. We've had the capability for all this time, but now we're putting things in render. So what's a more suitable way to handle all of those things instead of continuing to have 60 tabs deep the thing that actually renders out to the dump?
You try to open up the React Dev Tools and good luck.
Yeah.
I just had a thought. So before we just had components, but most apps also have Redux. And so it's not just components. We've got everything else that comes with Redux. And if you look at, I guess we'll call it new React, you've got components just like you had before. Those render actual elements. You've got hooks. Those replace state and life cycles. Those were already there. It's just a way to use it with function components now. And I think it's a better way. It's a cleaner way to do it too. So we don't have anything new there yet. And then most people just use Redux as a client-side cache of their server-side data. Mm-hmm. And so instead of Redux, you have React Cache and Suspense. And if you look at your Redux code to fetch something, like just one thing, right? There's a ton of code for that and several files. But with Suspense and React Cache, you have a resource and a cache.
Yeah.
And when you want to read from that thing, it's literally you just say read and pass it a cache key instead of like all of the boilerplate that goes on with Redux. So when I'm saying that that original tweet that you read at the beginning of this conversation, that the API is actually small, that React is actually going to feel smaller in the future, that's what I'm talking about. Because all this new stuff was already there, just in different forms. But now we've got tighter ways to do it and simpler ways to do it. We got to think about our data synchronously. We got to co-locate our effects. And then elements are like they always were.
So you're optimistic or pessimistic?
I'm incredibly optimistic.
Bullish on React?
There's also a chance I've just been super bored in my workshops after 3.5 years. And I finally have something new to talk about. Yeah, I guess you can't trust anything I just said. When React changes, I'm still in business.
Well, I mean, we've talked about it, and you're like, man, with hooks, I might be out of a job in a year because React's gonna be so easy. And I was like, people will find ways to mess it up.
Yeah, I have to battle the next Redux again.
Cool.
People are going to make higher order effects.
Higher order effects. Oh, of course. We need them. Where are they?
That's the only way to compose them together.
They're missing. Shoot.
Oh, here's just a random little tidbit. If you've used directives before, like in Angular.
Like in Angular?
Vue, yeah.
Oh, dang.
So as I've been screwing around with hooks, I've realized we now have directives in React.
Okay, so directives, I'll say this is for maybe the audience members who don't know what directives are, but I'm asking for a friend, what are directives?
Directives are just attributes that you put on an element and then adds behavior to it.
Okay, yep.
So imagine you could do like div, I don't know, turn red when hovered.
Oh, I remember, like so in Angular, when I did this, like, I don't know, half a decade ago.
Yeah.
It was like ng list or ng repeat.
Yeah, those were directives.
It was one, and you would do like for name in names.
Yeah, that's kind of a bad example for
it. Oh, sorry.
But yeah, you wouldn't be able to do that with hooks, thank heavens. But but yeah, ng repeat, ng click, all those. But okay. You could make your own custom directives. So you could be like Michael dash turn red when hovered. So the developer got to render the div.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just said, oh, and I want the behavior that Michael added to turn red when I'm hovered. In React today, you would need a whole component that you would probably pass, do a render prop with, or you'd clone your child or something and try to add. You've got to add like an on mouse enter and on mouse leave of this component. Mm-hmm. And in React, before tomorrow, I'm confused on the timeline.
It's especially hard because they're all in version 16. Like they've added so much in version 16.
But before hooks, you wouldn't be able to just randomly add some events to an element like that.
Sure.
You'd have to ask the user to do it. But now you can have a hook that returns those event handlers and then spread them onto the div.
Yeah. Okay.
You can abstract just a handful of events that work with some state.
Yeah.
Maybe do a side effect. Maybe you want to track when something is clicked or mouse entered for analytics. We kind of have these directives now.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think it'll be a pattern that emerges. After I used it for a little bit, I was trying to figure out, well, how do I abstract this? And then it occurred to me, oh, I can spread this stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sent a message to Dan. I'm like, hey, I think we're going to see that we kind of have directives now in React. And he was like, it was just like, yep. And so I realized that they had come to the same conclusion as they've been working with it, that we're going to see a lot of, or maybe not a lot, but we'll see that pattern happen where you use a hook, it gives you values, and you spread those values onto an element.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it seems like we have kind of two areas for rapid innovation over the next couple of years, and that's hooks and caches. Would you say that's the case?
I hope people just use React Cache.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that not a layer that things like GraphQL and other libraries would insert themselves in, or would they do that at a higher layer?
I mean, I imagine GraphQL is going to want to, or, you know, like Apollo and Relay and stuff. I imagine they'll probably want their own cache, but yeah, I don't know.
So any parting wisdom about hooks? Take it fast or take it slow?
Fast. Yes. I have zero hesitation with them. I am so excited about them.
Me too. I've been thrilled by every moment that I've played with them. I particularly love that, you know, despite the fact that more and more people are going to like Flow and TypeScript and transpilation has just become part of what we do, I love that hooks can be shared with zero transpilation.
Yes.
They're just functions.
And they're way easier to type because you're not typing a bunch of props.
Yeah.
And render props are really hard to type. Oh, so that's another cool thing that makes it cleaner is a lot of stuff that used to be like props going all over the place. They're just arguments to functions now.
Yes.
And in fact, function components, props are just an argument to the function, right? So everything's easier to type, and it's also easier to type. But typing with hooks is probably harder than typing without hooks, like in your hands, like if you're holding hooks in your hands. All right, it's past midnight. We should probably wrap it up.
I ventured to the state of delirium. Thanks for having this midnight React podcast with me. This was fun.
My pleasure. I just choked on my water. See ya.
31 For links to the talks and projects mentioned in this show, visit reactpodcast.com/31. And to keep up with the workshops and open source that Ryan's doing, visit reach.tech. And finally, I'd like to remind you that this week we started React.holiday, a fun 25-day advent of React code. We're talking a lot about the same things that we mentioned in this episode, hooks and suspense, and what they mean for you in 2019. If you want to get up to speed in a calm and gentle environment, this is the place to do it. Visit react.holiday to subscribe. That's all I have for you this week. Thank you so much for listening. I have a great episode with Vincent Reamer all queued up. So we'll be in your ears again next week.